Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, Fusion family. Happy Thursday, and or good afternoon, good evening if you're watching this at a different time or another day. We're glad that you're here. And it's an exciting morning as we are in Joshua 14. And I will be reading from the New International Version. But before we dive in, let's go to the Lord and pray and ask Him for His direction and guidance this morning. So let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning in praise and thanksgiving for another day. Another beautiful day that wasn't promised us, and it's beautiful, Lord, because you're with us. Your presence is guiding us, directing us, loving on us, and we just are so blessed, Lord, by who you are in our lives. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would direct this soap, that you would speak through me, that you would open all of our eyes and our ears and our hearts to what you would say to us today. Would you bring revelation, a fresh anointing to your word so that we can not only read it and observe those things that jump out at us, but we can apply it to our lives so that you would be glorified and others would see you at work in our lives. Lord, we thank you for what you have for us this morning. We thank you for your word, and we pray all of these things in your mighty and powerful name. Amen. All right, once again, we are in Joshua 14, reading from the New International Version. And it says, "Now these are the areas the Israelites received as an inheritance in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the heads of the tribal clans of Israel allotted to them. Their inheritances were assigned by lot to the 9.5 tribes, as the Lord had commanded through Moses. Moses had granted the 2.5 tribes their inheritance east of the Jordan, but had not granted the Levites an inheritance among the rest. For Joseph's descendants had become 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. The Levites received no share of the land, but only towns to live in, with pasture lands for their flocks and herds. So the Israelites divided the land, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. The word of the Lord, a short but powerful word for us today. So following 7 years of battle, Israel now has control of Canaan, the promised land, and it was time to divide the land between the tribes of Israel. 2.5 tribes were given land east of the Jordan, and 9.5 tribes are given land west of the Jordan. Chapter 14 details the division of the land west of the Jordan. It's important to remember that there were 12 tribes. However, the tribe of Levi did not receive an allotment. If you are wondering why, a note in my Life Application Bible explains. The tribe of Levi was dedicated to serving God. The Levites needed more time and mobility than a landowner could possibly have. Giving them land would mean saddling them with responsibilities and loyalties that would hinder their service to God. Instead, God arranged for the other tribes to meet the Levites' needs through donations. I think that's beautiful. It kind of sounds like many of our missionaries who are called to 100% serve the Lord, and the rest of the body of Christ supports them so that they can fulfill that calling. It's a special calling. And if you're like me, I was thinking, well, there's 12 tribes, and if the Levites didn't get a portion of land, why are there still allotments? In verse 4, it is explained that the tribe of Joseph had become two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, hence 12 allotments. And did you notice that it was mentioned two times that the leaders designated the land as the Lord had commanded through Moses, verse 2, and then again in verse 5, so the Israelites divided the land just as the Lord commanded Moses. Another note in my Life Application Bible challenges us with, the land was divided exactly as God had instructed Moses years before. Joshua did not change a word. He followed God's commands precisely. Often we believe that almost is close enough, and this idea can carry over into our lives. For example, we may follow God's word as long as we agree with it, but ignore it when the demands seem harsh. But God is looking for leaders who follow instructions thoroughly. As my dad used to always say, almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. He used to also say, anything worth doing is worth doing well. Well, I can't think of anything more well than God's plan. Those expressions that my dad used to say to our family all the time can definitely relate to our obedience with the word of God. Being close to success is not enough. You need to actually achieve the goal of obeying the Lord. As Pastor Brendan has said many times, partial obedience is disobedience. And I was trying to think of an example of that just for fun. And I realized this morning, many of you probably don't know, I'm not a morning person. So I usually throw, wash my face, get a little bit ready, throw on a top, but I still have my pajama bottoms on. That's the beauty of Zoom. I am only partially, dressed in the outfit of the day. So, I was like, well, even my outfit is only partial. And that spoke to me this morning. I need to fully put on God. And many of you know that Bible verse in Colossians that say, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you have. And it goes on and on. And there are days where, yeah, I can put on that compassion. I can put on that humility or kindness, but I don't really feel like bearing with that person today. Many times we pick and choose what we want to obey from God's word. And God's word is meant to be obeyed completely and fully. God seeks full obedience, viewing it as a sign of love and devotion. In John 14, 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will follow my commandments. And why? Because there are consequences to disobedience, as we see that only Joshua and Caleb entered the promised land from the original generation of adults wandering in the desert for 40 years. You might recall when we soaked in Numbers 13 that there were the only two faithful spies that gave a good report and believed in God's complete calling to take the promised land. The other 10 spies took their eyes off of the Lord's promises and allowed fear to derail their calling. In the face of the challenges that lay ahead to take the promised land, their report concluded with a profoundly revealing statement of their feelings of inadequacy because they were focused on themselves and not the Lord. Numbers 13:33b says, and to ourselves we seem like grasshoppers, and so we seem to them. We may appear to be grasshoppers, but with God, we're not. So we shouldn't take the focus off of Him and only partially obey or rely on ourselves. And because of this, the 10 spies derailing the calling, this was the cause of Israel's 40 years of waiting and wandering in the wilderness. God would not allow the generation of unbelief to enter the Canaan. So he waited for them to die in the desert. When I was trying to think of a visual aid for this division, what came to mind, what the Lord gave me, was this apple cutter that if some of you have it, you cut an apple, and I have to stand up to do it because it needs the pressure. So I cut an apple and it's divided. It's divided pretty equally. And I was thinking, oh, that's a good visual aid for this division of the land. But then the Lord really spoke to me and he talked about the core. We divide out things and then we throw out the core. But as we see, Caleb and Joshua did not throw away their core. Core is not only defined as the tough central part of various fruits containing the seeds, it's also defined as the part of something that is central to its existence or character. Their focus on God was central to both Caleb and Joshua's existence, and their character was defined by him, which empowered them to obey the Lord no matter what. Caleb recalls in verses 7 and 8, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions, according the core. His core was God. His convictions were determined by God. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. I know we're not in church, but say to your neighbor on this Zoom call, wholeheartedly. That is a word worth repeating. What a declaration, wholeheartedly. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. God was his core. It begs the question to all of us today, is God your core? Central to your existence and who defines your character? Wholeheartedly is defined as with complete sincerity and commitment. It means with all your heart, all in, sold out. According to the Enduring Word Commentary, it is the idea embodied in what Jesus called the first and greatest of the commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Be all in. Can you and I say that we follow the Lord wholeheartedly? Is Jesus not only your Savior, but also your Lord and Master, and that you trust and obey him completely like Caleb did? If not, like me, I recognize that I am not wholeheartedly. Many times my core is thrown out. I've got to retrieve that through prayer. And if you need a reminder of how to do that, AI surprisingly had a pretty good summary. And it said to trust and obey God, cultivate faith through prayer, study scripture, and seek his guidance. Obedience involves listening to God's word, following Jesus, and practicing good habits that reflect his character. It means surrendering your plans to him and trusting his wisdom, even when it differs from your own. Do any of you remember that old hymn, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus? But to trust and obey? Well, we're getting a prescription here from Caleb and Joshua that to do that, we need to follow the Lord wholeheartedly and put him at the center of our lives. Why? I have shared Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 2 several times before, which states, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. Luke 11, 28 reads, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. These passages emphasize that obedience to God's commands, not just one, commands, lead to a life filled with blessings, both tangible, but most importantly, spiritually. The Lord pledged to Caleb in Numbers 14, 24. But because my Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went into, and his descendants will inherit it. Now, 45 years later, we see the fulfillment of God's promise to Caleb. And we see that by God's grace, Caleb can say in verse 8, I followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Pastor Ted Gray shares, as Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly, he set an excellent example for us in many ways. He set an example first when he said, I followed the Lord. In other words, he put the Lord's will first. In that way, he is a shadow of Christ who in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed, Father, if you are willing to take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will be done. The way Caleb followed the Lord fits in with how we are taught to pray in the Lord's Prayer by praying, Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There are many people who want God as their co-pilot, but Caleb understood that God must be the pilot. And whenever the Lord piloted him, even if it was into the land of the giants, there in the hill country of Hebron, he would follow. A second way Caleb sets an excellent example in verse 8, where he emphasized his personal relationship with the Lord. He said, I followed the Lord, my God. With that statement, he also pointed out that he followed the Lord revealed in Scripture, not the false gods of Canaan. It is no different today. Even those who say they don't believe in God have false gods of their own choosing. Money, status, social standing, the pleasures of the world. All these blessings for Christians become idols and false gods to those who cannot say from the heart, as Caleb said, I followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. This is a challenge, a difficult challenge, but with God, it is possible. At the end of this chapter, we see the reality of obedience bringing blessing in Caleb's life in verses 13 and 14. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. But even before Caleb is given the land, we see his sold out attitude for the Lord, his wholehearted character on full display as he praises the Lord for fulfilling his promise after waiting 45 years and boldly claims God's promise. He declares that even at the age of 85, he is ready to go to battle for what was promised him. Despite the presence of giants in the hill country and despite the terrain in the hill country, it is fitting for God's people today to imitate Caleb's boldness in asking for what God has promised them. God's people may find this difficult to believe, but God appreciates this kind of boldness. Are you ready to battle for and boldly claim the promises of the Lord? Do you imitate Caleb's boldness in asking God for what was promised to you? Hebrews 4:16 encourages us to approach God's throne of confidence, God's throne of grace with confidence. The Israelites had to fight to possess the promised land, demonstrating that God's promises require effort and faith. They're worth fighting for. They're valuable. Do you know that there's over 7,000 promises in God's word? How are you fighting for those promises? What effort are you and I putting forth? Many of you know that I have a family member that struggles significantly with a mental health illness. So for the last 9 years, I have I call it my Ephesians 3:20 alarm. My alarm clock on my cell phone is set for 3:20 to remind me of the amazing promise of 3:20. And when that alarm goes off every day, I pray for this family member and others who are struggling with mental health illnesses. I'm fighting for that promise. I haven't seen it in 9 years, but I'm still believing for it. And I don't know if it will happen this side of heaven or not, but I will continue to pray until either the Lord takes that person home or me home. I'm going to fight and believe for that. Is that easy? No. Was it easy for the Israelites? No. God doesn't promise us easy, but He promises us His presence. He promises us His encouragement. He promises us the companionship and power of the Holy Spirit to walk with us each of these days as we fight for the promises and, more importantly, believe in and foster a faith in these over 7,000 promises. Just like Caleb and Joshua, don't give up. Persevere. Persevere. Perseverance is a beautiful gift from the Lord, and it produces that character that allows us to keep God at the core and not throw him out or to throw out our faith. As I always say to those that go on the mission trip to the DR and they're like, I can't raise that money. I say, do your part of the miracle. Fight for it, believe for it, and God will do the rest. And we are incredibly blessed to have 10 people leaving at the end of June to go to the DR that believe for that, have fought for that, and God has fulfilled all of his promises to them. Do your part of your miracle. Do your part in believing for those promises. And here's an amazing, encouraging word. Is there anyone on SOAP in their 70s, 80s, or 90s? Now that I'm in my 60s, I hear so many of my friends saying, the older I get, the older I get, I can't do this. I have a friend that said, don't say the older I get, say the longer I live. And that is what Caleb said, the longer I live, I will continue to fight for and believe in the promises that God has for me. Caleb's story challenges the notion that age limits our ability to serve God. At 85, he demonstrated the power of faith and courage, reminding us that we can serve God at any stage of life, as long as we don't throw out the core and we allow God to continue to define our character, guide our steps, keep us close to Him. That was so encouraging me to see this 85-year-old just going for it. So I love the note in my Believer's Bible commentary, which states, Caleb had been spared from the plague that took the lives of the unbelieving spies 45 years earlier. He had been preserved during the wilderness wanderings. He had survived several years of war in Canaan. He knew that God would not have kept him alive, promising a reward for his faith, only to give him over to the Anakin. So what if they were giants? I love that line in this comment. So what if they were giants? They were on his land. Whoops. Nope, not going to interrupt this final amazing point. They were on his land, and he would drive them out by the strength of God. He still saw things through the eyes of faith, and not as they appeared outwardly. This was the secret of his abiding strength and amazing success. He was not about to retire, although 85 years old, until he possessed his possessions. He was not about to retire his focus. He was not about to retire keeping God as his core. This story of Caleb demonstrates God's grace, that which we don't deserve, and his favor toward those who faithfully follow him and a fulfillment of his promises. And I have to add to that, whether this side of heaven or not, We don't understand why some things are not fulfilled in our understanding and our desires, but we do serve a God that has an eternity where all of his promises are completed and we fully enter the promised land of his presence. While we live in this profoundly fallen world, don't lose sight of the core. Don't lose sight of your focus. Keep God at the center. That's the encouraging word for me today. And God will honor your dedication and grant you the inheritance of his promises that he desires for you and what he has promised you. I was thinking of, obviously, during this entire time, what a beautiful, powerful, wonderful name Pastor Brendan and Pastor Danielle chose for their son. And every time you see him, let him remind you of keeping God at the center and serving him wholeheartedly. And we have one more minute. I just want to share a testimony of this. Many of you know we've been building a community center school in the Dominican Republic, and it's been for quite a few years, including COVID. So there's been all kinds of delays. And, you know, I'm human. I've wanted to throw in the towel several times, but that was a promise from God. And one day when we were returning from the Dominican Republic, we were in the airport and I met a semi-pro basketball player from the DR, and I told him about the mission. And I was thinking, maybe this semi-pro basketball player will pay for the rest and we will be done this project. So I went running up to our team, which always includes non-Fusion people. And I said, I just met a semi-pro basketball player. I hope he buys into our mission and finishes the school and makes a donation. And this one team member who doesn't go to Fusion said, Anne, what do you need to finish this project? God wants to finish this project. I said, well, we need $25,000. And he said, done. And he wrote me a check for $25,000. So when it's God's calling and his promise, we can stand firmly and serve wholeheartedly, all in, because that's our God. So let's close in a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are a God so beautiful, so loving, so filled with promises, so powerful, that you are worth serving wholeheartedly. Lord, would you please check our hearts, search our hearts, find those things, Lord, that keep us from serving you wholeheartedly and allowing you to be our core to determine our character and our actions and what we put on each morning, Lord, the compassion, the gentleness, the faithfulness, all of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you, God, that you are so beautiful and wonderful. I just don't have the words to describe you today, Lord, but I can describe a desire to serve you wholeheartedly like Caleb and Joshua. Help us to be Caleb and Joshua's today. Anoint us and use us. We love you, Lord, and we pray all these things in your powerful and beautiful name. Amen. All right, all you Calebs and Joshua, go out there. Allow God to be your core. Have a blessed day.